And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, days till election 2004. Let's be honest, this is a giant historical moment in American history. But does electing a president really make any difference? It must. We're breaking all the records for voter registration. Today, we hear from America's leading environmental voices. Neglect in election 2004, when we return here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Welcome to the special edition, this election edition of the Wildside News. 5 days and counting until Americans fight through the confusion to cast their votes. This is definitely one of the most energized moments in America's political history. This is serious stuff. A lot of Americans are searching their personal histories, testing the moment. It's interesting, but as they approach this November 2nd, it brings back feelings and memories of the days leading up to the Cuban Missile Crisis, 1962. The similarities are quite amazing. Two men, John F. Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev, facing off. In the balance, potentially, the survival of life on Earth. Charges and countercharges, it became a mesmerizing global spectacle of two powerful men in a deadlocked battle of wills. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, a Massachusetts intellectual who served in his war on PT-109 and earned his patriot scars in the crossfire. Nikita Khrushchev, a rough-hewn man who ran his Politburo with a singular will and a vengeful hand, who threw his tantrum at the United Nations saying, "It is us against you, and we will bury you." The pounding of shoes. John Forbes Carey, a Massachusetts intellectual who piloted his Swift boat in his war and earned his patriot scars in the crossfire. George W. Bush, running his tightly controlled political spin machine, a bit unpolished and bullying in the finest Texas traditions. It's eerie. And then the showdown over hidden weapons, CIA reports, satellite photos, headlines. I remember the specter of confrontation and the terror of a possible nuclear war all over one weekend. I was not one at 12 years of age who prayed very well, but I prayed that weekend before going to bed, in case it would be my last prayer. And I remember the looks in the eyes of almost everyone I'd meet. We were all perhaps going to be victims of this battle between two proud men. It's amazing, the mood in America today. Let's be honest, the fear, the sense of a blighted future. Things have never felt so dark. We're stuck in a war with no clear meaning. We've lost our advantage in the game of nations. We have shock and awe a complex and unforgiving religion in a crusade of blood and terror. We are denying that $70 barrels of oil lay ahead, and what possible chances we have to accommodate such economically goes unspoken. The animals on Earth are giving up en masse. America's great lands are preparing to get thinned and thumped, drilled and demolished, in yet another round of takings. The oceans are rising. The Arctic is melting. The elections are in shambles as the media runs silly willy-nilly around these serious threats, with terror stealing the headlines. Teachers are tethered to tests. Children lock themselves to their video screens and arrive at schools in vast caravans of SUVs. Hope is a ghost that haunts us like a brother, a dead brother. Our mothers and fathers gasp for relief from the greed of the international medicine men. China becomes the princess of power and glitz and networks our technologies into an economic mega machine to produce all the new stuff for their billion new consumers. as Africans struggle to find shelter and food for thousands of AIDS-driven orphans. And optimists and dreamers begin packing for a final sprint to some imaginary better place, maybe Canada, maybe Mexico. I'm tired. I'm a die-hard dreamer in a dream-free zone. And so something has to change. And that's why, if you asked me about election 2004, I take a stand for John F. Kerry. He talks. Some say he talks too much. But perhaps the world needs to talk more now. A lot more talking, a lot less bombing. He may not be pretty. He could use a good laugh to loosen his warrior's stance, but a warrior he is. And a warrior we need to fight through the chaos, tame the spinning sultans, and plant a seed, however humble, for peace, toleration, and wisdom. That's my vote, and that's my hope. And I know John Kerry is a man who loves the earth. I know he has dreams of a better world. I know he thinks in complex thoughts and reaches out to other thinkers. Today, we hear from the thinkers about the earth as they call in to give their thoughts about America, the earth, and election 2004. So we start with the news, which is happening as we speak in this historic Voice of the Earth radio network pre-election show. Let's all speak our truth, unfettered and free, for the times they are a-changin'. Paul Ehrlich opens our show. Paul Ehrlich is legendary as a futurist, and with his wife Anne have penned their newest book about our future, one with Nineveh, Politics, Consumption, and the Human Future. Paul, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Nice to be here. I'm standing in line waiting for a typhoid shot. How are you?
Sounds like fun. We're all having such fun these days.
I'm like all my colleagues, I'm desperately disturbed. I don't know a single person, Democrat or Republican, who doesn't think that the Bush administration is the worst and most dangerous in the history of the United States. There may have been more crooks in a Tyler administration, but he couldn't blow up the world. And I think the thing that concerns me is my grandchildren. I have them living near Washington, D.C., and, Bush has created this huge recruiting poster for terrorists in Iraq and is not defending our homeland against the possibility of nuclear weapons smuggled in, against the huge possibility of future epidemics. We've just seen the total incompetence of our government in even supplying us with flu vaccines. And, of course, is busily destroying the environment and wrecking our civil rights. It is the most frightening election in my, unfortunately, long life. And I must say the things you just said, I agree with wholeheartedly. And as I say, so do all of my friends. I left the Republican Party when Bush was nominated. My friend Russ Train, who was Nixon's head of the EPA, is going to vote for Kerry. Pete McCloskey, my friend, the Republican congressman from this district some years ago, got out an op-ed saying he was going to vote for Kerry. No one who loves their grandchildren, thinks anything about future generations, and wants to have a decent life could possibly think of voting for this bunch of liars. It's incredible to me that virtually no member of this administration, of the Bush administration, has ever served in the U.S. military, and yet they keep waving their flags while a genuine hero, someone who had the guts, and I know John Kerry reasonably well, he had the guts not only to go to Vietnam and get himself wounded, but then when he came back, had the guts to tell the country it was the wrong war, and somehow the Republican spin doctors have turned it all around. It's a dramatically awful situation.
So
you want to know what I really think?
Well, actually, I'm gonna let you just free associate, Paul, because you've really spent your entire life and know more about this than I could ever hope to know. I'd like you to share your thoughts about our future, the Earth in particular, the environment, and how that relates to this election. And yes, please be free to share whatever you have about 7 minutes here to go.
I think all of these things are basically tied together. In other words, one question Americans have to ask themselves is, why are we in Iraq? Those of us who were in the know there was no reason to invade Iraq before the invasion and tried to stop it. Gretchen Daly, the famous ecologist, said, do you really suppose we'd be invading Iraq if its main export were broccoli? In other words, the reason we're in Iraq is because we're driving so many SUVs and are so dependent on petroleum. And yet every sensible scientist and virtually every economist I know think we should be taxing petroleum more heavily and getting off it, because of course that's why the oceans are rising, that's why the glaciers are melting, that's why we may have a catastrophic failure of agriculture, because we're pushing the climatic system hard and it's likely to change in ways that we don't like at all. So, you know, American tanks driving around trying to keep control of oil is just exactly the wrong thing. We have American boys dying to keep the Hummers rolling temporarily. And of course, I should say boys and girls, and of course, many thousands of Iraqis also having their lives destroyed. Now, nobody misses Saddam Hussein. At the same time, there is no reason to believe that he, even if he had had weapons of mass destruction, that he, like the Russians, couldn't have been deterred. So, the whole Iraq war is basically an environmental war. It's an attempt to get resources we shouldn't be using, and that is Bush's super major mistake. The second one, of course, is describing us as basically anti-Muslim in his crusade technology. He's got a bunch of people who think we ought to regenerate the crusades of the distant past in order to try and make the world an American empire. That's a very stupid thing to do. Even if it were moral, which it isn't, it's something that is going to boomerang on us. We should be helping the poor people of the world. The threat of large epidemics is increased all the time as there are larger and larger numbers of poor people pushing themselves into close contact with the organisms that cause disease. And of course, SARS is an example. The scientific community is worried sick over a bird flu starting up in Asia and getting over here and elsewhere. And yet, we are disarming ourselves on the epidemiological front. Something like 90% of the containers that come into the United States are not inspected, and that would be an easy way for somebody to send in a nuclear weapon. Bush is spending billions of dollars on a Star Wars defense, A, that won't work, and B, as everybody knows, it's the last way another nation would send a nuclear weapon at us, because it's the only way we'd know for sure where it came from. So what we've got is a bunch of nutcases in this administration, and I am really frightened of what will happen if we get another 4 years of them. And I'm really concerned, as you probably can tell.
Obviously, and I want to create this forum for particularly people who, in the environment, who somehow their voices, and you're way beyond just the environment, you actually have this incredible breadth of perspective that is a clarion vision for the future. Let's talk about John Kerry, what you think he may be able to bring to this table, because you do know him and you know people who know him. Let's talk about what you think may, what differences he might be able to forge.
Well, I would hope he would return us to a bipartisan approach on the environment that my unfortunately now dead friend Jack Heintz, who was a Republican senator from Pennsylvania, was killed in an airplane accident, and Tim Wirth, the Democratic senator, used to work together very well across the aisle on trying to solve these very nonpartisan environmental problems to keep our life support systems functioning. People don't understand that the environment just isn't another little political issue like Social Security or medical care or unions or something. The environment is the very lives of our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And Heintz and Wirth work together very well. And, of course, Heintz's widow, Teresa Heintz, is a great environmentalist and is now married to John Kerry, and Kerry knows all the best people in the country of both parties dealing with environmental issues and also dealing with security issues, by the way, because it's very clear that what Bush has is a bunch of crazy neoconservatives trying to deal with security. I know Condi Rice very well, his security advisor. She's a cold warrior. She's nowhere near as stupid as she appears when she's trying to defend Bush's crazy policies on TV, but she knows nothing about the security issues today. If we were still fighting the Soviet Union, she would be a valuable addition to our security apparatus. As it is now, she's just off, you know, off the planet. So, John Kerry knows the right people. He's got the right instincts. He thinks about things. He isn't driven by a crazed religious fringe, I think he'll make an excellent president.
You know, as we face this election, unfortunately, my concern is the fact that I'm beginning to wonder if it's even going to happen. I'm afraid this is going to...
Well, of course, that's another thing. I mean, the attempts to steal the election are already well underway, and that's frightening. Another thing that's frightening is I don't envy John Kerry if he's elected, because the economy's heading towards the dumper, and Iraq for anybody who's got at least half a wit, I'm not talking about Bush, is descending into an absolutely hideous mess. And all this is going to be dumped on our next president. God knows what Bush will do if he's the next president. I hate to see him elected even one time.
You know, what are you hearing in terms of oil prices? Because no one's talking about this, and it's one of my enormous concerns. How are we, and I'm hearing rumors of $70 a barrel oil.
Well,
what are you hearing?
Well, oil could very well increase in price. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Unfortunately, we're not prepared for it. In other words, we should have been, for the last 20 years, trying to transition away from our incredible dependence on oil by gradually increasing taxes on it and that thereby damping down the demand. That is, not having everybody driving an SUV and air conditioning their homes down to 68 in the summer and so on, reducing our dependence on commuting. If that were the case, oil would probably be around where it is now. Gasoline would be around where it is now. But instead of the extra money going into the pockets of the Saudis who use it to pay off the madrassas who are recruiting terrorists, it would be going into the United States Treasury in the form of taxes and could be used to do things like repair our broken educational system, take care of our hideous problems in health care, and so on. So the whole thing, and this is not just Bush's fault, our country has been on the wrong direction on fossil fuels for at least two or three decades, and oil prices are now going to go up, and the additional money is, again, not going to go to help Americans. It's going to go to pay off people who are, you know, the very rich in Saudi Arabia who are training terrorists.
Well, Paul, I sure wish you'd learn to speak your mind.
Yeah, if you want to know what I really think, I it would be too uncensorable, you know.
Read his book with his wife, Anne, a wonderful book. One with Nineveh. Thank you, Paul Ehrlich, for giving your thoughts on the Wild Side News.
Nice to talk to you. Take care.
You bet. Bye. When we return, we continue with more environmental leaders here on the Wild Side News.